world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed. Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
Coming up this week on Parents Are Hard to Raise, 7 tips to prevent hearing loss, a cool way for your parent to become a superhero for a troubled teen, and what does your poo say about you?
Welcome to Parents Are Hard to Raise, helping families grow older together without losing their minds. I'm elder care expert Diane Berardi. Today, we're going to talk about poop. What goes in is supposed to come out. I know what you're thinking. Is she really going there? Yep, I am. I know, they're looking at me in the control booth like I've lost my mind. But GI health is important for the elderly and for all of us. Hippocrates said all disease begins in the gut. So our gut plays a major role in our GI health, in the health and well-being of the whole body. We don't talk about it. We don't even talk about it to our mothers. There's a lot of people that don't even look at it. So we have to discuss poop and what you need to know. We have to get familiar with what's normal for us, because when we know what's normal for us, it's easier to notice earlier and when they're easier to treat. Because normal bowel movements are different for everybody. They're different in frequency and form. So what's normal for one person that goes, you know, 3 times a day, usually after meals, could be different for somebody else who maybe goes every other day once. And you may notice temporary abnormalities. You know, it could depend on your stress level, depends on what you ate. Maybe you're not drinking enough. Maybe you, you know, were binging on fried food. But what doctors want you to do is look for consistent changes, changes that last a week or more, or you can't trace it, you know, to a recent diet change. And one thing age does tend to change is our digestive system and our bowel habits. And the most common thing to happen as we age is constipation. It's more frequent. And what, you know, we mean by constipation is less frequent bowel movements, straining, incomplete bowel movements where, you know, it's incomplete. You feel like you didn't finish. Or a hard stool. And why is constipation more frequent with age? Well, you know, we've talked about, you know, with our parents, with the elderly, they sit a lot. They're not moving. We want to get them to move. We want to get them to eat. There's changes in their digestive system. Things slow down. We want to make sure they're drinking enough. We have a lack of, you know, muscle tone in our pelvic and abdominal area as we age. We don't eat as much fiber as we should. There's too much dairy, maybe medications. A lot of medications cause constipation, fried foods, fast foods. Also, you know, we can have diarrhea. That can be an issue. You see that in the elderly as well. Maybe they can't tolerate certain foods anymore. Their stomach produces less acid. Again, weak pelvic muscles, weak abdominal muscles. There could be damage, you know, with females during childbirth and medication. So there's 3 things to look for: color, consistency, and shape. And that'll tell you what your poop says about you. Bowel movements occur at the end of the digestive process. So that's where we're going to see, by our poop, if we're correctly digesting food. Color reflects how fast the stool passed through the intestines and what foods, you know, we've eaten. So the best color we're looking for is light to dark brown, something resembling milk chocolate, a bar of milk chocolate. Green It's more common than you think, and that means that the stool moved through your intestines too fast. It didn't complete the process of turning brown. Black, you want to call your doctor. That usually means, you know, there's excess dried blood in the poop. So that's not a good sign. You want to contact your doctor. White or clay colored, it could be also a sign of a medical problem. Call your doctor. It may mean that your liver isn't releasing enough bile salts into the stool in your intestines. Blue, it's not common, but it can happen if you've eaten some form of blue dye in large amounts. That can cause your poop to turn blue. And red, you could have eaten beets the night before, not remembered. Or bright red is usually a sign of bleeding in your lower intestine. Small amounts could be from hemorrhoids, but large amounts, you definitely want to contact your doctor. And shape and consistency, that's also determined by your diet, you know, how much you've drank, medication, exercise. And the shape and consistency also is determined by how much time the poop spent in your intestines. There's a chart, a Bristol stool chart, which you can refer to. That's a medical aid to classify poop, and they classify it into 7 different categories. And there's a lot of different adaptations to that Bristol chart. Some are kind of funny. And so I'm going to go through the 7 categories in the Bristol chart. And usually they, you know, categorize, they give you an example kind of related to a food. And then I'll give you that adaptation just so you can really understand that type in your mind. So type 1 is separate hard lumps. It's like pebbles or nuts. You're straining to pass the poop. It looks like rabbit droppings. You're very constipated. And the adaptation to that type 1 is ass goblins. Type 2 is you're slightly constipated. It's kind of lumpy. It's sausage shaped. It's firm, but it's clumped. It's like lumps clumped together, like a bunch of grapes, or the real McCoy. And, you know, sometimes we can go to the bathroom every day, but you're still straining. So you don't realize, but you are still slightly constipated. And we, as average U.S. adults, we don't eat enough fiber. We only eat about 15 grams of fiber a day, where it's recommended for females to eat 25 grams a day and for males to eat 38 grams. So if we're only eating 15, we're certainly not eating enough fiber. Type 3 is the stool looks kind of like a sausage shape, but it has these cracks on its surface. It looks like corn on the cob, or the adaptation, a Lincoln log. Type 4 is your healthy poop. It's smooth, it's soft looking, it looks like a banana or a snake. It remains intact when flushed, and it comes out very easily, smoothly. So it looks like a sausage, or as that adaptation called it, the smooth criminal. Type 5, it's soft blobs with defined edges. It comes out very easily. It's common for people who have bowel movements like 2 to 3 times a day, usually followed by big meals. It looks like chicken nuggets or smelly seaweed. Type 6, it's a mushy stool. It's like fluffy pieces that run together. It looks like a pudding, you know, pudding shape consistency. That's an early stage of diarrhea. When this happens, you know, you have the urge and it's hard to control. It's coming through the colon quickly. And that could happen due to stress or, you know, a dramatic diet change. Kind of looks like porridge. And that adaptation calls it a lumpy fart. And type 7 is full-blown diarrhea. There's no solid form. It's entirely liquid. And diarrhea occurs when the small intestines is irritated. It kind of is like gravy or the rancid river. So I want to refer you to that Bristol stool chart. But we talked about our poop. It's a very important topic. It's important we went over color, shape, and consistency, when to call your doctor, and that we definitely need to eat more fiber. And now you know more about poop than you really ever wanted to know. And when we come back from the break,
I want to see if you can hear me.
She's always been there for you. She taught you how to ride a bike, tie your shoes, make your bed, blow your nose. She nursed you through the chicken pox and that nasty stomach flu. She was there on your first day of kindergarten, just out of sight, peeking through the window, her heart breaking just a little. You were growing up so fast. She knew just what to do to make it all better when you skinned your knee, came home with bubblegum in your hair, and got your heart broken for the very first time. Now, she needs you, and you have no idea how to help. You're not alone. Since 1982, we've been helping people just like you find answers to the problems you're facing right at this moment. Life is so much more complex than it was when we were kids. The stresses you and I face today are greater than they ever were for our parents when they were our age. We're pulled in so many directions at once. There never seems to be enough hours in the day. And no matter how much you do or where you turn, it still feels like you're letting someone down. These are the kinds of problems that can tear families apart. The good news is, you're in the right place. There are solutions, and we'll help you find them. We are the men and women of MedX Home Care, and for over 35 years, we've been helping families just like yours grow older together.
Takes a poop and the president chew and the fancy dance banker in his three-piece suit. The big fat general and all of his troops. The truth of the matter is everybody poops.
Everybody poops. Everybody
Oh my God, where did you find that song? I can't believe they're playing that song in there. Oh my gosh, these people in the control booth, that's great. So I promised I'd talk about hearing. Oh my gosh, I can't get that song out of my mind. Blaring car horns, construction jackhammers, shrieking car alarms, fire trucks, ambulances, police cars. These are all sounds of city living, and they all have an effect on your hearing. Mimi Hearing Technologies, they're an online hearing test provider. They show that there's a connection between the city's ambient noise and the population's hearing loss. Their research estimates that if you're the average city dweller, your hearing loss is equivalent to someone 10 to 20 years older than you. So your hearing may be older than you. And if you go on their website, they have a chart of world hearing loss where they rank, it's ranked by city and male and female. It's really interesting. And there's some fun facts about hearing. Of course, you always hear, don't clean your ears with toothpicks. They can hurt. Toothpicks. Oh my God. Q-tips. Don't clean your ears with toothpicks. Oh my God. Q-tips. They can hurt your eardrums. And you know, they say you should clean your ears with a bath towel. When you're on a construction site, you should be wearing earplugs. They also say you should, when you go to a concert, wear earplugs. But I don't know, if you're paying all this money for a concert ticket and then you're wearing earplugs. Meditation, they say, is good for you. It helps reduce stress, but it also can help you reduce your risk of hearing loss. Music, always keep the volume no higher than 60%. Don't ever watch TV and talk on the phone. We all multitask and we do that. But your ears then have to take in the sound of the TV and then the sound of the other person on the phone yelling because they can't hear. You can't hear them. There's so much noise going on. They say on a plane you should always wear canceling headphones so that you don't hear crying babies, bells, beeps, belts clanking. And you should wear ear protection, you know, when you're hammering at home, if you're hammering something, when you're drilling, and even when you're using the blender. Wow. I had talked about the elderly mom and dad volunteering, and I talked about that in, you know, a previous show. And there's a volunteer organization, there's a nonprofit organization that actually is looking for older volunteers. And people every day, there's thousands of people that text 741-741, and that is the text number for the crisis text line. It's a nonprofit 24-hour, 7-day-a-week helpline. So people in crisis can text that number, and they'll be texting a counselor anonymously. It was founded by Nancy Lubin, who she began texting teens when she was working, running this youth volunteer charity. And she noticed that the teens were texting her back. You know, they were texting her with their problems, and some of them were, you know, pretty serious problems. And she realized that for teens, especially teens, texting is a primary mode of communication. That's how, you know, you always see teens texting. So she thought, you know, I could, you know, organize a text-based helpline that might save lives. And she started the text line in August of 2013. But it's not just for teenagers. It can be for anyone. And, you know, in a moment of crisis, it's fast. No one can hear you. It's in real time. And you're anonymous. So, you know, people don't want to say things or tell others something because they're afraid someone's going to find out or they'll be found out who they are. So this is anonymous. So this within 4 months of her starting this word of the text for helpline spread nationwide. And by May of 2017, there's more than 3,000 volunteers, counselors, and they handle more than 36 million text messages. Many of the volunteers are seniors, and they're looking for seniors because you're working from home on your own computer. You're working at home on a home computer while the person texting is using their phone. And there's a tremendous amount of training, obviously, involved. But, you know, when we had talked about older people volunteering, why are they looking for older people? Well, because we had talked about this, they're especially empathetic. They're patient, and they're very active listeners. They're responsible. They have a lot of life experience. They show up to work on time. They commit to at least 4 hours of volunteering a week, and when they commit, they stand behind their commitment. They show up, they do what they're supposed to be doing. And a lot of elderly, sometimes they don't sleep as well as they used to, so they're available during hours before dawn when the number of texts spike. So the crisis text line is looking for mature crisis volunteers. It's a wonderful organization, and like I said, there's a lot of training, so you don't have to worry about that. And there's always someone who you can, there's always a mentor, a counselor, another counselor who can step in. And your training is you're not fixing what's broken. You're just getting the person who's texting through a bad moment, the worst moments. And you can apply online to volunteer by going to crisistextline.org/join-our-efforts/volunteer/. And those links will be on our show notes for today. And my survival tip of the week is involve nature in your exercise routine, because we know exercise reduces stress levels, but take it one step further. Go into the woods for your walk or your run, or, you know, even riding your bicycle. Time spent in nature is found to relieve stress, and there's an added bonus. Studies show that people who regularly spend time in nature show a 20% improvement in memory and attention span. So even if you only get into nature for even 5 minutes, it can reduce your stress and boost your thinking. And if you can't get out into the woods, you can still reduce your stress and boost your thinking by just looking at nature photos for 10 minutes. And there you have it. I hope you enjoyed this week's show. And I hope this was helpful to you. Or if you know someone who would be helpful, please tell them about the show. Please subscribe to the show on iTunes. That's how people can find us. Please tell them, subscribe on iTunes. You can find links to the topics we just talked about in the show notes for today's episode at parentsareheartToRaise.org. Today's show was episode 13. I'm here to help you, so please tell me if there's something you're struggling with, and I'll try my best to include it in a future show. You can reach me through my website, DianeBerardi.com. That's Diane with one N, B-E-R-A-R-D-I. You can follow me on Facebook at Parents Are Hard to Raise, and I tweet at Jersey Elder Care. Parents Are Hard to Raise is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. Thank you so much for listening. See you again next week.